My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in this spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hello again, I'm Will, and I'm grateful that you decided to join us on this episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Today's guest considers himself an intuitive energy healer. He works to release unhealthy patterns and create positive healing environments within a person, and he creates environments for healthier patterns in people. His work helps with trauma release, work fulfillment, family dynamics, interpersonal dynamics, goal achievement, intuitive emergence, and a whole lot more. Now, he graciously offered me a complimentary session prior to this interview so that I could speak to the experience on the show, and I cannot wait to dive into it with you. So please welcome Scott Clover, intuitive energy healer, to the show. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So to get started, I've had a Reiki practitioner on the show before. We've talked about energy healing, but I've never, until you reached out to me, I'd never heard of an intuitive energy healer. Can you share what exactly do you consider to be an intuitive energy healer?
So I use that description to try and get people to understand that there's energy in and around us. And it's sort of my goal, or if you ask me to help you, then we set an intention together to help you clear your own pattern. You know, words fail a little bit at this sometimes when you describe the ineffable, when you describe metaphysical stuff as you have over these last couple months. Words fail sometimes. So in this case, it's just for people to know that I see and sense energy patterns in and around people's bodies, in their ancestral field, in their soul purpose. And I can see either contractions, expansions, coagulations, and describe it back to them in a way that they understand it and in turn feel it and then do something about it. So I'm not as much of a practitioner inside that I'm an observer, and then I'm also an explainer.
But then you also help not just explaining it, but also you help someone work through it and release some of the energies that might be trapped and things like that, right?
Yeah, my clients have called me the energetic plumber. So I figure out somatic ways, somatic in the body. Yeah. So I also consider myself a somatic guide or a somatic healer as well. And that's where the healer question comes in, is I'd much rather inspire healing in someone else than do the healing myself. It's more effective. I find the efficacy of you being involved in the process, you have a better chance of it achieving a long-term goal than just having it done to you. The healing that I'm involved in is more than just collaborative. It's your healing experience that I'm helping you understand better.
Right. And I think when we start talking about the experience that I went through with your process, I think we'll be able to explain it a little bit more specifically, because I know exactly what you're saying. It's sure. just hard to quantify in words unless we have dialogue about it. So you mentioned something that struck me. You said that you see energy fields, and yet when we did our session, it was over the phone. And when, in fact, when I asked you whether you wanted to do it on camera or on the phone, you said it was better if you didn't see me. So when you use the term seeing, I assume that you are using that term loosely in a lot of context. Is it more of a feeling than a see?
No, it's seeing. I can describe it this way. I use a lot of metaphor. I use a lot of little banter sometimes to help people understand how to describe these things. So in this case, if you're listening and not driving a car or operating heavy machinery, and Will, you can do this with us, Okay. Go back to the house you lived in high school. In your mind, and walk up to the front door. And is the doorknob on the right or the left?
It's on the right.
Enter the door and walk into the room that's on the other side of the door, and go to the room that had the television in it. And you see that in your mind's eye, and you see where the lamp is in the room, and you're maybe on a chair or the sofa, and the television's there. You see that in your mind, right?
I can, yes.
But if you were to look at me now, go ahead, look at me. How many fingers am I holding up?
You're holding two.
But can you see the television in your high school house in your mind's eye?
Yes, I can. Yeah, I see
what
you're saying.
That's how I can say that I see things, because I'm seeing them in a double refraction, if you will.
So I've got to ask the question then. Are you psychic? Do you have psychic senses that allow you to see someone else's
thoughts?
Well, the P word, the psychic word, has a lot of baggage in our society. Mm. I live in Manhattan, and it has a different connotation on the streets of Manhattan in terms of there's booths and places you can dip into and get a reading for this much dollars, and who knows what the heck they're going to tell you, and then charge you more for this. And it's just not where I land in the realm of intuition. The P word has a lot of stuff that gets carried with it. So that's why I use intuitive. I use my intuition or my psychic skills to see and sense these patterns on behalf of healing someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. So not only do I see them sometimes, and a lot of healers, when they start to do this, they feel it in their bodies as well. And I try to make an effort to keep it out of my body, because that can be very taxing to the observer, right? If you do this as often as a week as I do, bringing all these people's energies into your own body and feeling it, and then you have to process theirs as on top of whatever you have in your own personal life. So over the years, I've tried to develop a sense that I project the person's energy as a hologram and then see that hologram. It's safer for me, and I think ultimately more effective, because I'm not empathizing with the client. So okay. I'm not pitying the energy of the client. Right. So I mean, over the course of the years, I've heard some terrible things that have happened to the people that I work with, and that's why they come to me for trauma release. Right. But I don't go down into the pity well that they're in to try and get out of them. I don't go down and bring it up. I sort of put a ladder down and say, climb up out of that vibration.
Right. Got it.
Does that make sense?
It very much does. And I mentioned to you on the phone the other day, one of the things I really truly enjoy, I do listen to your podcast. And for those of you who aren't aware, Scott has a podcast that he does. It's called The Intuitive Energy. And you can find those on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Libsyn. But I have listened to your show. And one of the things I enjoy the most about the way that you explain a lot of things is your metaphors, your imagery that you share, because just when I think you've gotten as descriptive as you possibly can, lo and behold, you've come out with a new one that makes me smile. So I appreciate that about you very much.
Thank you. And that's an interesting point you bring up, that you ask me, am I psychic? Can I read people's minds? And I really, over the years, have channeled my psychic energy towards the healing environment, or towards the intention of the healing. Back in the day, I used to pick up way more than I pick up now, but I spent so many years confining my abilities and keeping them at bay that I have sort of a muscle that opens the aperture, and I'm now able to close it. So the psychic abilities I experienced as a child, I had to shut them down. And in hindsight, it shut them down, I think, to prepare me for later in life, because having been this open intuitively as a child in the 70s and 80s wouldn't have served me well, especially in the community that I grew up in. So to re-experience this in midlife and then ultimately make a career out of it, you know, I had to channel and say, wow, I pick up way more than necessary. And even now I use a fraction of my intuitive and psychic abilities when I work on anybody, because I don't need to see everything. Some people, when they get involved with this or they start to sense energy, their goal is all, everything. And over time, that's not only taxing. For me, it was painful, frankly. It was physically painful to open up and be resentive of the abilities and then accept the abilities and close them down. It was like, you know, water hitting a wall. There was a lot of stress there. So once I decided to accept what I was receiving, then I was able to tone it or hone it down and not pick up everything. So the example I give is, have you ever walked into a sports bar and there's 19 televisions going on and you're trying to watch badminton and volleyball and baseball and football, and there's cricket over there for the one English guy in the corner, and you're like, holy crap, I don't need to watch 19 different people of sports matches. That's what it used to be like for me when I first opened back up to my abilities. And over time, I've decided, wow, I'm going to walk into an environment and I'm going to automatically turn off at least 11 of those televisions. And then I'm going to look at the other eight and then decide which three are the most important. Gotcha. And the two or three that are left, I can concentrate on those and I can interpret and extrapolate. Anything more than that is a cacophony.
It makes great sense. And I think I'm a big comic book guy. And that's the thing you think about with Superman, right? He has to shut off. If he's constantly aware of everything everyone's saying, it would drive him crazy. So he's got to just focus on the one thing he wants to actually listen to. Imagine it'd be the same.
Yeah. And most of the Superman movies focus on that. This latest Henry Cavill one, there was a scene where he was an adolescent, and I really empathized with that kid.
I bet.
Empathized with him. I mean, I had to change classes when I was a child. And this is for people that may have children. When I was in, I think it was kindergarten, no, first grade, I got sat in a class with a teacher who I didn't like. She was sort of old and gruff and wasn't compassionate. And so I cried every single day in that class until I was removed. And everyone decided, oh, it was because I didn't like the teacher. And in going back and using my abilities and helping and guides with other people that I've gone to help me understand my abilities, I keep bringing up that point to them that I couldn't stop crying in this one class for like weeks on end. And it turned out a couple years later, we found out that the girl that I was sitting directly next to was being horrifically molested by her father, like horrifically. And this went on for years. And what I was ultimately picking up was her inner pain was so strong to me that I couldn't express it at 7 or 8 years old. And I just cried. The adults around me didn't understand what was happening. So they just assumed I didn't like my teacher.
Because she was gruffy.
But they said, oh, I had allergies, that I was too sensitive, that I was this or that. They went through all the whole laundry list of things. Not, am I sitting next to someone going through unbelievable agonizing pain and trying to hide it that I was picking up on.
Right.
And over the course of my life, I picked up on a lot of people's pain and put my foot in my mouth plenty of times, not understanding that it wasn't sort of written on their sleeve and I was reading it like a logo, like on a shirt. It was actually private to them. But those things can factor in for intuitive people. Is do the abilities that you have, if they're opening up or you're trying to understand them, ultimately, people go through periods where they hurt other people with them, not even on purpose or intentionally, but they hurt other people's feelings. I know when I was a child, I was ostracized as a kid, which is ultimately why I closed my abilities off, because I started knowing too much about my peers and it made them uncomfortable.
You don't think about that when you are thinking about intuitives or psychics or whatnot. And as you're opening up your senses, what kind of worlds that opens you up to? That must have been horrific. So it makes perfect sense.
To finish up with that, the motto that I came up with recently is, you don't have to be the best psychic. You don't have to James Von Prague, but be useful and be courteous and keep your intentions to yourself. A lot of people that get these abilities start off and they just want to start expounding things. Well, most people don't want to hear it. Trust me. I've lived through this. Most people don't want to, unless they ask you, they don't want to hear what you have to say.
Really good point. I find the same thing with stand-up comics. When you meet a stand-up comic, they immediately think that you need them to be funny. So they're constantly on and I just find them tiring. But sorry, I digress. Let's talk a little bit about these energies. We've not spoken on the show yet about chakras. And I think in order to talk really deeply about the experience I went through with you, we did speak specifically about at least two different chakras. So can you explain a little bit what a chakra is to anyone who might be listening, who might have heard the term, but doesn't really know what that is?
So chakras is sort of, I talk about the East meets West. It's an Eastern practice that has been adopted over here, similar to yoga, unfortunately. And so here, the structure, the belief is that there are energy centers in the body. Most people know of the standard 7, which is the root. The base chakra is at the base of the perineum of your body, the base of your torso. That's considered the red chakra. And then it sort of rainbow colors up to the crown chakra that is perceived of or talked about as being white. Now, that's difficult for some people because some people don't see or sense colors, just the way some people can't smell or dogs are colorblind. Some people have a hard time asking. I do a lot of color visualizations if the person's able. The point of it is there are energy centers in and around the body. There are hundreds of them, and they are all around our bodies, all around our fields, auric fields. The ones I deal with primarily on top of the 7, I talk about 8, 9, and 10 in my work. 8 is more archetypes. 9 is more past lives. 9 and 10 can be past life stuff. So getting any higher than 10, unless I'm with somebody either skilled or there's really a detriment up in those higher chakras, I don't delve in those. What I like to do is go down in the body and do sub chakras and get people to understand that their energy field is built on a structure and creating some stability down there. And that work can be very healing and cathartic for people, as I said, who come from an unstable home life or that have anxiety or anxiousness in their fields. But generally, people think of the chakras as lotus flowers opening and closing, and I see them more as tunnels through the body. A lot of empathic people that have healing energies, their spleen chakra, the chakra right below their left breast, will get very clogged. And so there's ways in my work I have to help unclog those kind of chakras. If you come from an alcoholic family, generally the liver gets very clogged up energetically. Even if you're not the alcoholic, if there was alcoholism in your family, there can be a lot of coagulation of tense energy around the chakra at the liver.
We've started the show by talking about the fact that you graciously offered to do a session with me so I could speak to it. So spoiler alert, I'll let everybody know that I absolutely felt something and am still feeling some things. And we can talk specifically about what those are. But when we first made the connection to do the session, your instructions were very specific. You said to get an unlit candle next to me, a glass of water, and to make sure I had my head propped up and my feet flat on the floor. Could you explain what those guidelines were for?
Sure. Having someone in that position not only allows me to see their energy field in a specific way, as opposed to laying down. So I generally ask clients, are you laying down? And they're like, yeah, because I can generally sense that. Mm-hmm. So if I know the way you're sitting, I have to work less to sense the energy field. Sure. And also grounding. The feet on the ground is very important because we actually do somatic grounding experiences when I work with a client, especially, right, as I said, those with anxiety, things like that. So a lot of times the sessions are started by a grounding session, which is done by the feet contacting the floor.
Gotcha.
There's that. Okay. The pillow behind the head and neck, that's so you can just relax. This is your session with me is your hour off. I have a lot of Manhattanites that run around, you know, 24/7 all day long. And they come in and they just like to be relaxed for 1 hour, knowing that that's their time. So if we're doing a somatic experience and you don't have to engage the neck muscles, then that's one less thing your body has to worry about. So that's right. Why I told you to engage the neck. The candle that is ultimately lit is just intentionally, I generally light one on my side. So we share that kinetic fire energy. And at the same time, if we're doing healing work with your hands on your body and I want to cleanse them or change the palate like lemon sherbet at a dinner, I'll have you wave your hands over that candle and clean out the palate or clean off the energetic palate. If the candle isn't available, I just have people gently rub their hands together. Oh, and so the glass of water is hydration is important. Right. And if we work on the throat chakra, which is the communication center, it's nice to have that lubricated. Or at least it's a way to change. If I'm doing 3 or 4 different energetic exercises in one session, which happens fairly frequently, then the water can also be sort of an intermission, if you will.
I've struggled with how much to share on this conversation because I did share with you some things that it's not really public knowledge, but that were certainly keeping me stuck in a certain way. Right. So I think probably the best way to go about this, to tackle this, is to say that there was some energy blockages that you found in my body that we were able to clear. That be fair to say?
It's your experience. So you talk to it and I'll interject when need be. But I'm going to let you explain your experience. I'll explain the energetic reasoning behind what we're talking about, but it's okay for you to share as much or as little as you want.
Okay. So I'll start by saying that I started the show because everybody knows I've been looking for something that I could put my finger on that could say, yep, this is real. This is, I can feel it. I can touch it. I know that this exists. I've done Reiki. I felt the energies involved with Reiki, that kind of thing. So I didn't know what to expect when I worked with you. In fact, when you told me that it was better not to see me, it kind of threw me. I think we touched on it a little bit earlier. But as we got started, it suddenly started making sense because you really used visualization is really your big tool towards identifying and then resolving the challenges inside of a person.
Right? Visualization and metaphor. Yep. Right. Those two things combined. Yep.
Okay. Right. With me, my blockage or what we found was a challenge was more right below my belly button. Right. So Here's where, and after the experience, I sat and talked to my wife about it at length because I truly was blown away by a few things. The very first thing that threw my mind against the wall, probably 2 hours or so before the session, I turned to my wife as we were working together and I said, man, I'm having a really difficult time with my stomach. But it wasn't my stomach. It was actually right below the belly button. It was that area of my body, like your intestines or something. It wasn't really my stomach. Pain, it was just really uncomfortable. It wasn't a typical stomach ache. After, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, it kind of subsided. So I didn't think anything of it until when we started doing the exercise and you told me to put my hand right underneath my belly button in that area of my body, which was the exact position, the exact placement of where the pain was just 2 hours before that, which blew my mind. I spoke to you about it right away as we were doing it because it shocked me that you would have identified that area immediately or that I would have had a pain in that area even before we started working?
Well, two things, chicken and the egg, or chicken or the egg. And in terms of that, a lot of people are precogs. They have precognition energy. They get an echo from the future coming back to them, and they process it in their bodies. Hmm. And then ultimately, they have an experience. And that can be 24 hours. That can be 2 hours. I know personally, my body used to react hours before an acupuncture session. So I'd go for acupuncture. And prior to that, and I didn't know where the acupuncturist was going to put the needles, but prior to that, my body would have a similar effect to what you were saying. So that can be precognition of the cells echoing. It could also be that you knew subconsciously that we were going to work together, and that's what needed healing. So it spoke to you enough that it created sort of a flag up that I went and looked at that flag and said, oh, why is this flag waving here? He wants me to look this way.
Right.
And then ultimately we found what we found and extricated what we extricated.
Right. So that was just the first thing that blew my mind. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you folks, you heard it here first. I've been called now officially a precog. So I'll take it. Whatever works.
Well, I called the cells in your body precognitive.
way to ruin my buzz. All right, I'll keep trying then. Okay, so that was the first thing. Then the next thing that really threw me by surprise was you asked me to pull something from the back of my head. And I don't want to go into too much detail because I'm sure it's different for everybody. But right before that, I had looked at the candle and the candle was just about to be put out. It was almost snuffed out. And I almost thought about stopping you and relighting the candle, but I thought, well, let's just keep it and see what, you know, happens. Hopefully it won't go out. Maybe it'll just be a really small flame. Didn't think anything of it until I took that thing out of my head and you asked me to throw it into the candle. And I did that with my eyes closed. Then you asked me to take a drink of water, which to do so, I had to open my eyes. And it just so happened that the glass of water was right next to the candle. And when I opened up my eyes to grab the glass of water, I noticed that the candle now was a roaring flame that I would never have expected, having seen where it was just mere minutes before. And I can't help but think that it had something to do with me throwing whatever it was from my head into that fire that caused that flame to roar. Is that possible, or is that just me making stuff up?
No, it's very possible. As I talk about frequently, the electromagnetic spectrum is visible to us by 1/1000th or 1/100th. There's so many energies out there that we can't see or feel, but people like me can sense, you know, an extra tenth. And what we sensed or helped you sense was coagulated, built up energy that had been stuck in your body for years.
Right.
Now, it may not be cellular matter, but it was energy. And I know that because I sensed it and you felt it. So we shared that in common. It wasn't like I may have said it and then you found 2 days later and then the next day you were able to dismiss it. So this is now we're coming into what I call healing in community is a healing experience with someone else is more effective than an individualistic healing experience because you have two intentions combining to create a stronger intention than just the two individual intentions alone.
Right.
So you can heal in groups, which people are very fond of and often doing. And then a lot of people prefer one-on-one. So what we did with you was we not only shared a healing intention, was that to clear your body of energy it no longer needs to reside in it, for whatever reason why they're there. I helped you remove that energy. Now, it was palpable to you. You actually felt it physically. So you can't deny that tomorrow. And I was there with you sensing it or feeling it on my way of feeling it, made it even more real and made it less dismissible.
Yes, I would concur. There was definitely a palpable feel to the energy, not just when you pointed it out inside my body, when we identified it. And sure enough, it was an overwhelming feeling of it. But when we released it and the way that you released it was, I guess I should say the way that we released it was really pretty cool in a metaphorical sense. But I've never really been one to feel comfortable with things like this, where at the end of it, and I know I'm going ahead of myself, but at the end of it, you asked me to give a woohoo, right? And I've never really felt comfortable doing those whoops of joy or excitement, not just on one-on-one, but in large groups either. But really, literally, the release of the energy helped me to feel so much lighter that woohoo came to me really naturally. Didn't feel self-conscious at all. And I should say, I physically felt lighter, if that's even possible.
Yes. And what you were doing was the celebration aspect of that reference is that you're celebrating the difference. You're acknowledging the change, and that resource moment of happiness is allowed to be yours more often. That's why I was hoping you would connect to that, because it makes it more real, right? Yes. If you win something and then somebody acknowledges that win, it makes that win more real. This isn't a win-loss. This is a release or a catharsis, mm-hmm. and that can be celebrated too.
It was, and I did, and I'm still celebrating, because I'll tell you what I really enjoyed about what you did, especially the way that we closed it out, is some of the imagery, some of the statements that you were making, that you asked me to make, were all about allowing myself to release it and allowing myself to appreciate life, to laugh and allow myself the opportunity to be happy in a large extent.
Yes, but let me interject here. I also asked you to permit yourself, allow and permit, and that's very specific in my work. Okay. And I'll explain it really quickly for the listeners. Did you ever see the movie Footloose?
I did, yes.
So the premise is these kids live in a small town and dancing is not permitted. They don't have permission by the elders, by the church and the superintendent of the schools to dance. So these children, they want to dance. They have the urge to express themselves. They do not have permission by a conditioned thinking society or an oppressive energy above them. All right? Right. So that's where permission comes in when we talk about this energy work. So when you started to say these allow statements, that's different. Now imagine a school district that supports the arts and third grade dance class, and there's little Johnny in the corner dancing his face off, and he's got the underbite and he's having fun. And little Susie in the corner says, "Wow, Johnny, you terrible dancer. You look like an idiot. What if, why would you make a fool of yourself in front of everybody?" And he's so mortified. This kid that was loving expressing himself is so mortified by the judgment of a peer that he disallows himself to dance going forward. He doesn't go to Sadie Hawkins or homecoming dance. He doesn't dance at his wedding, all because a girl in third grade made fun of him for self-expressing. So he has permission to dance. Actually, his fiance wants him to dance at her wedding. He doesn't allow himself to dance.
Right.
So bringing in different aspects of those things, and I'll have the client repeat, "I allow myself to do XYZ," or "I'll give myself permission to do 1, 2, 3. And I will read and sense their energy field. And when they say both of those statements back to back, their body reacts differently. And it gives me the signal to say, "Oh, this is a pattern that was imposed upon you by conditioned thinking, or this is a pattern that you created for yourself, or a cage that you've put yourself in that you forgot where you put the key." Mm. And so I help find that key, and then you can unlock the cage on your own and have possession of that key to feel more comfortable opening and closing it.
Great point. And you're absolutely right. There is a difference between allowing and permitting. And in my case, it was both, because over the course of the last decade, several decades, I've been slowly but surely disallowing myself the ability to laugh out loud at a movie or enjoy in sheer, gosh, I don't even know how to say this. I felt like my life has been somewhat oppressive. I've not experience the joys of life as they are. And very, even more specifically, over the last year, something happened a year ago that caused me to close up even further for very specific reasons. And really, it's a year ago, and I was still carrying it around on me on top of all the other stuff that was going on inside of me for all these decades. It started back when I was 4 years old, 6 years old, however old I was.
Yeah, I think we started at around 4 years old with one of your patterns. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we released that energy, the sense of lightness that was involved in it was quite shocking to me, not just at the moment, but also a day after or a couple of days after, even now. That night was the first time that I've actually literally laughed out loud at something my wife said. And she looked at me kind of like, "What? Are you okay?" Because it's just not been me. But I'm finding myself more at ease. I'm finding myself happier. I'm finding myself more relaxed. When I think about the incident that happened a year ago, I no longer look at it as something that I need to hide from, that it was oppressive. I don't get this awful feeling in my gut of, ugh, like, this feels terrible. I instead look at it as for what it was. It's a learning experience that I can put behind me now. And I'll tell you, it has made a massive difference in my relationships in just this short amount of time. So I can only imagine where it goes from here.
Yeah, expansions are wonderful when they increase your allowment of joy. And so what you're disallowing is judgment, because joy and judgment can't live in the same moment. You have to pick one. Yeah. So what you had inside of you was almost this parasitic energy that kept your toggle switch into judgment mode. And it was like it rusted it over in judgment mode. And what we did is we took the WD-40 out and we got some of the rust off that thing and we toggled it over and said, hey, here's some joy. Take that and see what happens. And your body went, I remember that. I like that. I want more of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to be known as a very happy-go-lucky guy. When I reconnect to people from my past, they ask me, what happened to that guy? Well, I'm hoping that eventually he'll come back. He's not quite there yet, but at least I'm on the right path. And
oh, yeah, this takes time. I mean, a session with me is more than just eating one salad and expecting to be thin, but it's right. It does have to be worked upon. If we open up an aperture, you have to either keep it open or keep it clean.
So I do want to ask you, after we finish with my experience, about frequency. So please remind me about that, because I will forget Swiss cheese memory these days. But I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the next thing that really surprised me. And that was the effects that I had that you warned me I could possibly have the next day. As we closed up our session, you did say to me, if you feel a stupid happy for no apparent reason, like way too happy, I'm freaking out about it, that kind of thing. Well, it wasn't happy for me. It was unbelievably stressed, right? The next day, I was on the verge of panic attacks, anxiety attacks, which I haven't had for over a year. And I thought for no apparent reason. So I did eventually reach out, as you told me to do, and mentioned what was happening. And you asked me to do a very specific thing. I probably should back up. One of the things that you asked me to do was to sleep with a bowl of salt next to my bed, which I promptly forgot to do.
And what did I ask you to do the next day? What did the ritual involve?
Yeah. So then I had to, if you don't do it right the first time, you've got to do it right five times as hard, right? So
yeah, more diligent and grandiose the next day, which is ultimately what happened. Yeah,
exactly. So you asked me to get just a ton of salt, go into my bath and actually give myself a salt bath, like rub the salt all over my body as robustly as I could in order to have these energies kind of siphon themselves off into the salt. Because you mentioned that these energies had to go somewhere and they were getting stuck, right?
Yes. Change is awkward for people. And so your arrows weren't all going out the outdoor the way they were intended. Yeah. Which is where the salt helps, because it gives the energies a direction.
Yes.
And you set that intention. And that's why I said sleep with salt by your bed, which I tell my clients to very often. Particularly after we remove something.
Right. I need to tell you, to this day, that bowl of salt that I put on the very next day is still there. I don't know if I'll ever not sleep with that bowl of salt, because it was such a traumatic experience for me not to have done so.
So, well, let me tell you, if people are listening and they do like the idea of sleeping next to a bowl of salt, you want to throw it out at least every 3 or 4 nights.
Oh, that's good to know.
And you want to throw it down the toilet or in the garbage in the garage or outside. You don't want to throw it in the garbage in the kitchen, because you don't want to bring that energy back into where you consume food.
Very, very good point. And I think you actually did mention that to me when we spoke. And I did mention Swiss cheese memory, right? So
it's okay.
So, yeah. So you asked me to do that with the bath. I promptly went out and went to a grocery store here in town and bought 2 massive things of salt, because I did not want to take any chances. And I did exhaust one completely in a bath. And then the bowl next to my bed is a massive bowl of salt, because I don't want to, it was really uncomfortable. It was a very difficult situation, something I never want to have to experience again.
Well, and that's, change is difficult for people, as I said. So your energy system was told, or you had responded in a way the day before that says, we're going to do it this way. And then the old pattern came back and they kind of confronted each other.
Right.
So once again, that's why the salt is there.
Now, I've got to ask you the question that a lot of the people are listening probably have been asking themselves. And that is, how sure can we be that these are actual energies that we're clearing? Or is it just me doing an auto suggestion in my mind that makes me think that these things are the way they are?
Well, I would say if you experience them individually, then that question could be posed. But I'm the librarian and I'm telling you where the book is, right? So you just have to read the book. I'm not going to read the book to you. Meaning, it doesn't matter which book I choose. I choose the one that's going to help you the most. So since we experienced it at the same time, and I mentioned to you a location and sort of a pattern of what it might feel like, then you were able to communicate with that pattern as well. And when you felt it leave, it actually left in your mind's eye. I sensed it leaving as well. So as I said, since we experienced it together, it's less likely that it's, you know, the latter part of your statement is because the energy that you felt was palpable. It wasn't dreamscape energy or thought. You weren't imagining it. It was happening in real time.
Right.
So yeah, there are people that say, you know, oh, you tell me to feel this in my body. And is it the power of suggestion? Well, I don't have time for that.
Sure.
Frankly, I didn't work as hard to become what I am and train this hard to be dismissed like that. People come to see me when they're ready. People right. find me on the internet or through a friend at a dinner party and they go, you know, maybe that's something I need because my talk therapy, the guy doesn't understand. I know in my personal case, I used to tell my therapist when I was in my 20s, you know, I dream the future. I dream this and months or days later it happens and it freaks me the hell out. And he goes, oh, let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about something else. And ultimately, that was one of my biggest hurdles, was not understanding what was happening to me. If I understood more of what was happening to me and that person was responsive to my empathy or my empathic abilities, then I would have understood myself a lot faster. So people find me when they've either exhausted other things, or they're tired of their own bullshit, or somebody recommends them and they go, wow, that's fate. I need something like that in my life because I've been questioning it.
Right. I'll say at some point, someone has to take a leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
If, even if it was an auto-suggestion, what is the harm in it, right? If it works, it works. However, the very same thing that I said to my wife, if it was just the candle or just the fact that I had that pain in that particular area, I could have maybe said, well, it's a coincidence, right? But the fact that there are so many different things that you just mentioned this, that happened, that point to the experience, I can't explain it any other way other than exactly how you say it is. You are an intuitive energy healer, and you have helped me to begin the unblocking of something that has been holding me back for many years. So for that, yes. First and foremost, I've got to thank you for it, because for someone who's been struggling with it for so long, not even realizing that they were struggling with it for so long, and have you come along and offer this for me, I'm incredibly grateful. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank the Podcast Association for introducing us to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So then I've got to ask, is one time enough? Now that you've cleared me, am I good to go? I'll be happy for the rest of my life. Or is it like talk therapy where you have to come back to you every once in a while?
Is that your frequency question? I thought you were talking about vibration, not to me. Frequency. You know, it varies for people. Healing isn't just popping a blackhead and having perfect complexion. You have to work on it. You know, you have to change your diet, and you have to change the soap you use, and you have to change things about yourself to reach that aspect and tip the scales from judgment to joy and have it be farther on the joy side.
Right.
You know, I think if we boil it down for what's the purpose in life, it's that. It's to have more joy in our lives than we've had judgment. And judgment is a tricky beast in that it's everywhere, especially in our society now. So in terms of frequency, what I generally say to people is, if you have an issue or a pattern, or you came from a childhood that's quite rough, give our work together 3 sessions. And after that third session, you're going to understand yourself better, and you're going to know if you're going to want to work with me more or not, or go off to do something else. The energetic plumber aspect of my work is I take the largest elephant out of the room. So imagine you got a small room with an elephant and a bunch of animals in it. Well, the elephant takes up all the room and the animals can't run around. And similar to what happened with you, we took one of the larger elephants out of your room and your animals started scrambling around and saying, look, we're running around. What do we do? Right. And so that can be uncomfortable for people. So that's why I say one session is kind of a one-off, and you're taking your chances. But if you have a way of understanding that this work is cumulative and that maybe you have something from your teenage years that sort of got pushed on top of the thing that we removed, or something else that happened to your 20s, or you were betrayed by a family member or something like this that's very traumatic and in your field, then it takes several sessions to extricate or unravel that macrame that gets created.
Right, right. Okay, so then I guess you could probably expect to hear from me for my next session.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
And that was a laugh. See, so I have to say, I don't talk about my work often enough. I don't talk about my work often, but for you to say to me, I used to be the fun-loving guy and I laughed for the first time and it lightened up my life and it lightened up the room I was in. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I got a handle on these abilities. They didn't drive me crazy. They didn't put me in an institution, that I can now cater them to help people like you that just want to laugh more. So I'm grateful that I have these abilities, that I'm able to share them in the way that I've chosen to, I should say.
I'm grateful that you reached out to me, because not only did you open the door to something that I wasn't even aware existed, but you've also, like you mentioned, opened the door to my happy-go-lucky self again. So here's hoping for the best. Scott, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Any last parting words of wisdom that you want to make sure that my audience takes away?
Yeah, one of my podcasts is called Mind Your Own Energy. And I really like that term, because a lot of empaths, a lot of people that feel, they want to overfeel, or they want to overgive, or they want to push their energy into other people's thinking they're going to help that other person. If the person didn't ask for it, then you're being intrusive. So mind your own energy and clean up you, and then lead by example, as opposed to maybe feeling victimized and then thinking, oh, I have to go help that person to make me feel better. I would say encourage self-care, encourage self-healing, and then shine your light a little brighter, and then people can read by that light, because you going out and trying to force your energies on somebody to make you feel better instead of actually doing the work and making yourself feel better is kind of detrimental to everybody in that equation. So think about your energy field, think about your history, think about your patterns. And if you need help with those things, reach out to somebody maybe outside the box. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast just by the name, which is how I found it, you're interested in something that's out there. You said something, some reference to the X-Files. People like me, I eat those shows up. I can't wait for the next Supernatural show because maybe I'll see a little bit of myself in that character. And that's why I think these shows are becoming more and more prevalent, is because we all have these inclinations. You have precog abilities, we just found out.
Woohoo! You heard it here.
And that was a natural woohoo. So we all have these instincts. They may be a fraction of what we see on television where they're so grandiose, or these superheroes, but those energies exist in real time in real people. Yeah. And it's for us to open up the aperture safely and let them out comfortably. Right. So
I encourage anyone who is interested in this type of thing, and specifically in you and what you can do, to listen to your podcast, because you speak on that show very specifically. I know there was a whole series that you did on the different chakras. I mean, it really speaks even more in depth into what the process is. It's really quite illuminating. So I recommend.
Well, and I will say, I try to keep the talk practical. I'm non-dogmatic. Mm-hmm. So yep. I don't talk about dogma. I talk about energy.
Right.
And I'm trying to bring out information that I would have loved to have heard when I was coming out as an intuitive. Right. When I was accepting my own abilities, I thirsted for information, and I've compiled it all over the years, and I'm trying to put it into this podcast so people have a reference and a place to go to feel their tribe, to feel understood, to feel heard, to hear someone talking practically about energy. And that's right. What I do.
Yeah. The podcast is the Intuitive Energy Podcast, right? The Intuitive Energy Podcast, recommend it highly. Anyone can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And I know that you've got it on Libsyn as well. So thank you, Scott, again, for coming on. I'm sure this is not the end of our road together. And thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like to book a session with Scott, you can do that on his website. It's scottclover.com/session. I'll add a direct link in my show notes if you prefer to go that route. You can find his podcast, like I mentioned, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Libsyn. If you'd like to connect with him on social media, you can find him on Facebook and Instagram as Scott Clover Energy Healer, and on Twitter at Scott_Clover_. I've also laid in direct links to these social media platforms in the show notes for you for ease of use. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Don't forget, you can also send me a voice message on speakpipe.com/skepticmetaphysician. Love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, feedback, anything that you have on the show or the guests. And I love sharing people's stories and would love to share yours too. So please feel free to reach out if you'd like to come on the show. You can join me on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician or email me directly. That address, along with links to my social media platforms and the SpeakPipe access, you guessed it, all in the show notes. Last thing, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I'd sincerely appreciate you throwing the show a 5-star rating and leave a review if you like the show. It does go a long way towards getting the show in front of more people who might benefit from hearing the stories we share on the show. Well, that's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.